Vegas Bad Boy of Podcasting is an entertainment-based wrestling program. The opinions shared are that of the host and their guest. Some celebrity voices are impersonated and usually not well. This program is not intended for kids and certain adults. Listener's discretion is advised. You have been warned. Now let's get ready to podcast. Well, welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. I'm your host, DJ Impact. I got a couple of bad boys here with me, Sin City Steve. Hey.
Hey. How you doing, buddy?
good. Matt Michaels.
Titties and asses.
Oh.
All right, then.
I had to wake you guys up.
Well, that's a good way to wake you up, for sure. Hey, so we have a special guest on the line with us. He is the host of the Lingerie Fighting Championship podcast and one half of the Steve and Mike show. We have with us Michael Larkin. How are you, Michael?
I'm doing well. Honored to be on the show. You guys do a lot of great work. I'm happy to be on with you.
Awesome. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You're very welcome.
You as well. You do good work as well.
Thank you.
How did you get into... let's start with the LFC itself. How did you fall into the LFC, and what's it like having to put on lingerie and actually fight?
Thankfully, I don't have to do that. Nobody wants to see my ass in lingerie. Nobody wants to see that. But as far as LFC goes, one of my first interviews I actually did was with Allie Parker, a.k.a. Allie Baby Doll Parks, and we talked about, obviously, you know, she gave her kidney to her brother, if you guys have listened to her interview on the Vince Russo brand show, bro. So we talked about that. We talked about her pro wrestling career, and what's interesting is because I like to do my notes, and I like to have kind of like half free-falling, half notes. I was looking up some stuff about Allie, and I came upon this LFC, and I'm like, what is this LFC? And then I went onto the website, Lingerie Fighting Championship, and I'm like, huh. And I'm like, obviously, you know, there's beautiful women, you know, lingerie. But there's the overall presentation of a mixed martial arts. And I love mixed martial arts, like pro wrestling. So I thought it was cool. And we talked about that. And I wanted to get more people on my show. And that's kind of how it blossomed to the LFC podcast, Beauty, Strength, and Dominance. They asked me about wanting to do the podcast and be the official host. And I said, absolutely. I love doing media for you guys. And really, here we are, and that's kind of how I came up with the name, because beauty, strength, and dominance is the three correlations that make women the work of art that they are, and the three elements overall. So, yeah, that's where we are, pretty much from that Allie Parker, Allie Baby Doll Parks interview, kind of all from there.
Is there one person so far that has stood out to you as an interview that you wanted to do, that or an interview that you didn't necessarily think was going to be great and just turned out to be a great interview?
Well, I got to tell you something. Agatha Cannibal Carter, who's relatively new, and she'll tell you she's not the best at, like, promos and speaking. She's kind of, like, straight to the point and very blunt. She's absolutely a sweetheart. She's very fun. She loves what she does. She loves to train. She loves to work very hard. And we had a lot of fun. We talked about the LFC calendar, which came out. We talked about her belts. I mean, she was very cool. You know what I'm saying? For someone who doesn't, you know, doesn't feel like, whether promos, she's very blunt or very, they're talking wise, she was actually very cool. So if I have to pick one, I'd say Agatha.
And is there one particular person that you would, I guess, hate to face in the ring? Like, who's the most badass out of all the women?
Oh my god, for the girls, I'd have to say Jessie El Toro Santos, because she is just absolutely just wow. I mean, she's on a streak right now. She won her last three fights, LFC 25 against Shay the Fox Mazzotto, LFC 28 against Lauren the Animal Fogel, and 29 against Tomiko the Temptress Tajima. So if I had to pick one, I have to say Jessie El Toro Santos.
So we're going to have to make that fight happen then, huh?
Oh, boy. Yeah, see, there
you go. Awesome, man. So, obviously, you know, we briefly touched on the LFC. That's, you know, what I would say that you're most known for. How long have you been doing podcasting or streaming audio, and what got you into it?
Okay, so I had a rough 2016, 2017. This was before that. My aunt and my grandmother passed away within the span of a year. Mm. So as all this was happening, probably like 2014, my best friend, Steve Nicoforo, who we do the Steve and Mike show together, we were talking about that. And I'm like, 2014, man, like the biggest thing I knew about in podcasting that year was the whole thing that went down between CM Punk and the WWE on the Art of Wrestling Colt Cabana's podcast. That was like the big thing in 2014. I'm like, man, I love me some wrestling, but I can't top that, man. I mean, there's a lot of bad stuff going on right now. But I was kind of a little mad about that, but I thought about it over the coming months and after the holidays. So for my birthday, I asked my dad, he said, hey, Dad, I kind of want to get some podcasting equipment. I want to get a mic, and I wanted to do this because my dad and my mom actually used to work for 106.1 BLI, so they used to work, which is a popular radio station on Long Island, New York. So they did that for about 20 years, so I guess I kind of can say I have my parents to thank for that, for them being in radio all those years. Yeah, I just got comfortable after just thinking about it because I was, like, first very apprehensive about it, but then as I thought about it and pondered, I'm like, this could be cool, and then we started in, like, August of 2015, so the summer of 2015, and here we are. It's 2019, October, and I mean, I've been doing this for 4.5 years.
Is there something that sticks out to you as a moment that you knew it would keep going? Because I think, you know, a lot of times when you start out doing something like this, you kind of play around with it for a while, and then you realize, okay, you know, that was fun, but you lose kind of like commitments by people, or you just kind of get bored, or, you know, or there's not money flowing in. You know, how has the journey been? Has there been a turning point where you're just like, hey, man, this is great. We can just do this and not look back.
I probably have to say, and me, I worked a lot. I worked in market research. I was still grinding as we were podcasting this. I worked in market research for like 7-8 years. I mean, it's been a long time since I did market research. That was my shoot job. And I still do other jobs. I work with social media managing. I do some stuff with my LFC. So, I mean, I love that. But for me, you know what it was? I never really got bored because I always thought of it as a chance of, hey, we're giving people a platform for us to just be silly, to have fun and be entertaining. I mean, we can talk about pop culture. We can talk about current events. I can interview people. Steve can do his hockey stuff. So I thought, let's give these people a variety. Let's have fun with what they're doing. Give people the platform to tell their story. And whether we're talking 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15, 20, half an hour, what have you, you make the most of your time and let's have fun with it. So I really wouldn't say I didn't have any regrets or like looking back on. I never really got bored. I just liked doing it. I was very passionate.
Awesome, man. Yeah, definitely. Speaking of passions, when you're not behind the microphone, how do you like to occupy your time? What kind of hobbies do you have?
Oh, my goodness. Really, man? Just, I would probably say, movies. Just going to the movies sometimes or watching movies on Netflix. I mean, I like Stranger Things. I like a lot of stuff on Netflix. I mean, I remember watching Fuller House on Netflix, just streaming, seeing stuff like that. I mean, I grew up as a kid, and I get to see Jodie Sweet, and God dang, man. That was my favorite, yep. But no, man, I'm simple like that, you know? I'm simple like that. I was a kid that I used to have a basketball hoop in my backyard. I just like to shoot hoops. I like to go to the park, play some basketball. Maybe some video games from time to time, maybe some old school video games. I mean, I'm just very chill. Listen to music. I'm just mostly a family-oriented and to myself kind of guy. But yeah, that's mostly what I would say. Either music-related, park stuff, watching TV, going out. Man, I'm all over the place. But yeah, I'm good. I'm very chill like that. Just me, those are some of my hobbies.
Definitely, man. And so you mentioned watching TV and things like that. I'm going to ask you a very, very difficult question, okay?
Okay.
Best TV show that you've ever seen as far as series?
Oh, my goodness. My goodness, my goodness. If I had to pick, wow. Whew, that is a tough one, yeah.
He's from Long Island. He's going to say Sopranos. You know it.
Yeah, well, okay. Here's the thing with that. That's funny because I was actually thinking Sopranos because I'm like, here's the thing. As a kid, you got to understand, growing up in the 90s, my mother used to love that show. So my mom kind of got me hooked to that. And with the finale of that, with the Don't Stop, and my mom just being so mad like everybody else was with the finale of the Sopranos. Oh, yeah. I grew up with that. So, I mean, I would have to say Sopranos are up there. Dude, I was a TRL guy because I used to watch TRL. Mostly, dude, I was music, man. I used to, like I said, TRL, maybe a little BET Rap City with Big Tigger, 106 and Park with Free and AJ.
Okay.
We could be on the top of video. Yeah, I was mostly into the music stuff.
Okay.
Did you ever try to get down there to the TRL studios?
Oh, my God. No, I did not. I was more of just watching. I was like 10 at the time. So that was everybody there. I used to grow up on Long Island, Roosie Kenny Elementary School. You come home, you do your homework, you flip on some MTV, and you watch all these screaming girls screaming for the Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, 98 Degrees, the whole time. So yeah, that's how it was.
And what was the typical Long Island girl like circa 2002, 2003, when you're, you know, kind of in those, getting into those high school years? Because for me, it was getting into those high school years, I still had the late 80s girls with the hairspray and the they all looked like Kimmy Gibbler.
Oh my God. So 2002, I'll be honest with you, I was in like sixth grade at that time. I was like 10 years old. But as I got into junior high and high school, dude, all I can really say is everybody was just, I don't know, they just dressed the nines. It was weird because we had a lot of the goth kids. We had a lot of the girls that, they looked nice, but yeah, mostly just all the boy band type of stuff. That's really what it was. You know, I really didn't notice. All I could really say is that's pretty much, it was the boy band stuff, man. It was all like, you know, even some Click Fives in there, just the girl I'm looking for. I'm just trying to think. But yeah, it was mostly Justin Timberlake's and all that. Yeah. So if I had to say the type of girls that I grew up to school with, probably like the boy band craze.
Yeah, that's not too far off from what it was like in the late 80s, too, because you had the New Kids on the Block and all that. So, yeah, nothing changes. Go figure. Is there something that drew you to fighting, wrestling, that kind of stuff? Did you start watching as a kid?
Okay, so my earliest inkling of watching wrestling, I was flipping through the channels and I saw WCW Nitro, and I believe Rey Mysterio was fighting Juventud Guerrero or Psicosis, one of those, and I just remember flipping through it, and that piqued my interest. Later on, 2001, I know Hulk Hogan and all these guys and WCW. I didn't really watch, but what really piqued my interest is 2001, this was the end of, you know, WCW, ECW. It was just WWF, the only game in town. I remember watching Stone Cold Steve Austin backstage and the Alliance during that storyline with him and Kurt Angle, the whole nine. And yes, of course, Jimmy Crack Corn and I Don't Care. But I mean, yeah, that's just, it was funny. And I thought it was so entertaining. And I'm like, I want to watch this. And then a year later, as time passed, they were in New Jersey and a family friend got tickets. So it was myself, my mom, and a family friend who she worked with at the time. And we went to see WWE Raw Live from the Continental Airlines Arena at the time. And this was the show where Eric Bischoff became the general manager of Monday Night Raw. From one son of a bitch to another, his name is Eric Bischoff. So, I mean, hey, it was a very memorable night indeed.
And did you always have a passion for MMA as well?
You know what it was, too? I kind of got, like, later into it because, obviously, I always liked the pro wrestling and MMA correlations. Like, Ken Shamrock, obviously, from, like, 97, you know, with Bret Hart, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Steve, Do You Give Up? One of the most iconic matches ever. And watching Ken Shamrock and knowing about Ken Shamrock and his run, so I was a big fan of Ken Shamrock. I'm looking forward to see what he does against Moose at Bound for Glory. But, yeah, the Ken Shamrock's the beast, the Dan Severns. I could go on all day, man. I remember Chuck Liddell and Kurt Angle, when Kurt Angle and him were going on that radio show, and they were just going back and forth, which was great. I remember when Kurt Angle tried to dabble into it. Brock Lesnar, obviously, was one. CM Punk, recently. You know what it was, too? I'll be honest with you guys. I was really just intrigued because of all combative nature and combative sports, I just respected the work that everybody put into it. My grandfather, God rest his soul, was a boxing fan, so I always loved combative sports. All, you know, nonetheless, whether it be pro wrestling, MMA, boxing, I just respected the world, and I just really just enjoyed watching what these art forms were and just what everybody put into it.
You know, it's so funny you brought up all those great names, and yet no Bobby Lashley.
Oh, well, hey, Bellator with Dan Lambert and the whole nine. Yeah, man. And you know what it is about Bobby Lashley? I like Bobby Lashley, and now look at Jack Swagger now with what he's doing. Excuse me, Jake Hager. Yeah, no, Bobby was good. Wasn't Alberto El Patron going against like Tito Ortiz like very soon?
Yeah.
Oh my God, yeah. So we shall see with that one. I know Alberto has an MMA background, so that should be pretty good to watch.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and especially I believe that the two guys are actually putting their their respective championships on the line. So obviously, when you receive a UFC title or WWE title, they actually give you one of the belts. So there each man is putting up his own respective personal copy of the championship.
See, I saw the photo of that, and I just thought, like, that's cool. Just because him with the WWE title, UFC title, like, I did that. And that I just remember seeing and watching the press conference, and I thought that was cool. I mean, another name we can mention, Cain Velasquez. And, I mean, here's the thing. I remember, just because the next day after that, the highlights are just him kicking the bejesus out of Brock Lesnar and leaving him with that scar that we see Brock Lesnar has to this day. So, I mean, I'm kind of intrigued to see what he does against Brock Lesnar. I saw Kane do his thing at the AAA show at MSG. So, I mean, that's one I'm intrigued with as well.
Yeah, without a doubt, man. And obviously, the bigger wrestling promotions are long overdue in bringing in more and more MMA presence into their respective federations. Do you think that that's something that will even trickle down more so to an independent level and even more than what we've seen already?
I think so. I mean, personally, I think it's great that we've had these tie-in correlations with the major companies. I'd like to see it on the independent circuit as well, because, like I mentioned, different art forms, and I mean Syndicate MMA, where they got in Las Vegas. Yep. And just all in all, I think it's great just to see both worlds coming together and doing what they do. I'll even say this right now, if I can mention LFC. Look at Lingerie Fighting Championship. We got Invicta, Shannon Knapp. I like to compare LFC to Invicta just with less clothing, because there's a lot of great talented girls that do and put in the work. I mean, you got guys like Greg Fredo, who trained the girls at LFC 25, and this is a guy that's been mentored by Floyd Mayweather Sr. and his work with Floyd Mayweather Jr. So, I mean, I kind of look at it with the LFC realm as well. Like, if we're like our version of Invicta just with less clothing, I mean, the girls put the work in. I mean, you look at Invicta, Amanda Nunez is an alumni, Shayna Baszler, Jessamyn Duke, they're on NXT. So, I mean, I think as far as the indie level, too, I think it should. I think it will, because I'll be down for that, too.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, you definitely, from an outside type of a perspective, I mean, I definitely have to give it to companies like the LFC. I mean, they have over 100,000 subscribers to their YouTube channel. The podcast that you do brings in great numbers as well. I mean, it's a really, really exciting time to be a wrestling and mixed martial arts fan right now.
It truly is, dude. And that's the thing. When we talk about the LFC brand, I see a lot of these girls, a lot of people that want to get into it. And me, I love women all shapes and sizes. Doesn't matter. I don't judge. And I think it's great to see that we have all these different crops of talent and crux of talent that want to get involved with it. Save for professional wrestling, just because, like, this time really is. I mean, we have so many places. We have AEW, we have WWE, we have Impact Wrestling, we have MLW, the list goes on and on. And like I said, this is really just a big boom for professional wrestling now, and it's a great time to be a professional wrestling fan, guys.
Without a doubt, man. So with that being said, obviously you've interviewed a great list of people on the LFC show. Is there anybody that you would love to interview that you haven't had the opportunity to interview yet?
I think one that really sticks out to my mind, if we can get a hold of her, the inaugural LFC champion, Feather the Hammer Haddon. I mean, she was great. Unfortunately, she had to relinquish the title, due to injury and concussions, but that's one that I'm really looking forward to, or the former LFC Prez, Maxine the Boss Frost. I mean, dudes, I've gone through everybody, even Sean Donnelly himself, the great CEO of Lingerie Fighting Championship. But I really, just really everybody, man. I mean, those two, if I had to pick, those two stick out, just because Feather the Hammer Haddon is one of the ones that paved the way for the girls that we see today. And Maxine the Boss Frost, because she was just fun as the LFC president. So if I had to pick them, those would be two.
What would you say is your ultimate overall interview, if you had to pick, not talking about, LFC, but just in general, is there someone out there that stands out to you who you'd love to talk to?
Just because he was one of my favorites, whether he be singles wrestler, tag team wrestler, I would probably pick Jeff Hardy.
Oh, nice.
Do you think you can get into the rehab to do the interview?
Leave it to Matt Michaels.
Okay, obviously he has his for his issues. But I will say this, he's still one of the greatest of all time. I mean, lying about his age, 16 years old, with the WWE back in the day with his brother doing enhanced work. But I always love Jeff Hardy's work. I know he's doing what he's doing, but he's still one of the legends to me. And I always love the swantons off the ladders. Mm-hmm. Still one of my favorite matches that a lot of people, I think, should definitely watch if you've not watched it. The Raw match with him and Undertaker for the Undisputed Championship, Climb the Ladder Kid, Yourself Famous. So he's had so many great moments, and I just would love to talk about him. Plus, I'm a tattoo guy, and I'm in the Carolinas. The Gas Chamber Inc. was one of my favorite tattoo spots to visit. So, I mean, hey, Shannon Moore's spot in the Southern Pines, North Carolina. I mean, I'd love to talk tattoos with him, music, Parox Y Jin, wrestling. There's a whole, you know, plethora and a concoction of stuff to talk about.
What's your favorite piece of art on your tattoos?
Okay, so me, I just got crosses on me. I have scripture, I have strength, which means my strength in my faith, strength in God, and strength me to get through each and every day. I have a cross that's dedicated to my grandfather who passed away when I was 9 years old, and I have a cross on my other arm that says sanctified, which means that I'm blessed. So really, I'm just very a cross piece. I think there's actually one I want to add because I want to do one in dedication to my grandmother. So really, I love all the pieces I got because each and every piece that I have on my arm has a lot of meaning to me.
We could set it up so you could wrestle Jesse, and then we could, if you lose, you have to get a tattoo of her face on your back.
Hey, I'm all for that. I do it.
Have you ever thought of actually doing any kind of in the ring training or you know, any kind of wrestling or MMA fighting?
It has crossed my mind as a teen, but as someone who's an epileptic and has had 15 staples in his head, I'll be honest with you guys, I like staying on the back side of things and interviewing it. I like that. Would I want to do something? Sure. Maybe and possibly in the future. Absolutely. Yeah, that's always crossed my mind. And I would do it to the best of my abilities. You know, I'd want to train. I want to have the best possible, you know, matchup or fight, what have you. And I would just want to entertain the people. So that's crossed my mind. But I got to say, for right now, I kind of like being behind the scenes. You know, we'll get a kick or something. I'm down for the count. I see how badass those ladies are, so I get you.
Well, I just, you know, saying that with the epilepsy, you know, I think you got a built-in character. We'd call you Mike Seizures.
Hey, I'll be honest with you. I'll be doing like the boogeyman when he used to come out, foaming out the mouth, get the little stick going. Hey, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, shit. Has there been anything, like period of time or one moment that sticks out to you where someone gave you a good piece of advice that you still live by today?
Oh my goodness. Well, my mother has always given me great advice. She's probably been one of my biggest supporters, just telling me to keep on keeping what I'm doing. And I think pretty much everybody, you know, what really one that stuck out to me was Christy Knowings. I actually interviewed Christy Knowings, for those that remember Christy Knowings, one of the original All That cast members. She just told me after we were done interviewing, she's like, I love what you do. I definitely want to come back on. And we've done pop culture shows together. I've interviewed her in her Split Decision improv comedy that she does in California. She's like, I just want to keep using for me to keep doing what you're doing. And you're going to go far. So I think that would probably be one of the biggest ones. And I mean, I've interviewed wrestlers, musicians, the whole nine, but Christy Knowings, that one really sticks out. And I grew up on her. Like, I was 5 when she was on All That. So I grew up. That was my childhood right there.
Well, and you can use that connection to get Amanda Bynes, you know, and I'm sure that would be a fascinating interview.
Oh, my goodness. We could talk about the Ask Ashleys. We could talk about the Amanda Show. We could talk about Penelope Tain, Amanda's number one fan. We'll be here all day. But, yeah, that's some pop culture gold right there.
Is there one thing that sticks out to you as a goal that you have for yourself in the future?
I think the goal for me is just to, you know what it is? I've always wanted to do announcing. So, hey, and you know what's funny is Adam Hopkins, who is one of the WWE PR guys that lives in Long Island, New York. If I was ever do announcing, I'd love to do announcing in WWE, maybe mixed martial arts, just because I'm such a fan and I love absorbing things and info like a sponge. I just want to get into announcing or just probably be one of the best podcast hosts out there. Just continue what I'm doing and staying on my grind. I believe that God has a place for me and he has a place for each and every one of us. So I think I'm just going to stay on my path, and wherever I go, I know God will take me to a good place. So, hey man, I'm just here for the long, for the ride. That is his life.
That's awesome, man. Those are great words to live by for sure. So quick question for you on this. I need for you to just give me your Mount Rushmore of podcast hosts.
Okay. I'll start with Joe Rogan.
Okay.
All right. As far, you know, you know what it is about Joe Rogan? He just fascinates me when he talks about like marijuana and all this stuff, and because he has a lot of great guests that talk about depression and stuff, so I'm kind of into that. Mm-hmm. And like the spiritual things. Oh man, this is tough. You're making me really think about this. you know what? Chris Jericho, just because I like to talk as Jericho, because like one week he could be having on like a WWE wrestler, then the next week it'll be like Kenny G or like a musician, so I'll put Chris Jericho up there.
Nice.
Yes, exactly. Who else is there? Oh, you know what? Chris Jericho. Oh, Stone Cold Steve Austin, just because he's trying to record a world-class fucking podcast with Sam fucking Roberts, and that's the bottom line. But yeah, I'd have to put Stone Cold up there. The Unleashed version and the Steve Austin show. And one more. You know what? I'm going to say this. Good old JR, because I always used to enjoy the Ross reports, and when you think of one of the greatest announcers of all time and one of the greatest minds, you think of Jim Ross. So if I had to pick a Mount Rushmore, I'd probably go with those four.
That's awesome.
Yeah, no, I personally would go with Matt Michaels.
What, man? Hey, man, I'd put you up there, too. I said you're... I like you.
But why just Matt Michaels? Why not the Vegas Bad Boys of podcasting? Why just Matt Michaels?
Well, because...
All right, fine, jump.
Well, no,
well, you're kind of like... Well, dude, you're like Nelly. You're like Nelly is what you're doing. You're like Nelly in Training Day. You're number one, two is not a winner, and three nobody remembers. I see what you're doing here, so I guess.
That's awesome. Hey, Michael, as we're closing, anything you want to promote at all, man, including your social media... info.
Of course.
Yes.
You guys can follow me on Twitter at SMShow1 or at MCL92. That's my two Twitters. One's my personal one with a lot of the shows, and one is for the show. I'm reachable. I'll be honest with you. I don't deal with a lot of a-holes, but if you are an a-hole, I will block you like that. Like I said, I like a lot of positivity and stuff, so hey, just don't be a dick. I'm nice. I'm probably one of the most cordial and professional people, as you can tell as well. Very fun. So, I mean, hey, you can follow me there. You can follow me on SoundCloud, MCLarkin92, www.StephenMikeShow.com. Man, we got a lot of shows from the Stephen Mike Show, the Golden Age of Everything, the Pop Culture History Podcast, the Stephen Nicks Hockey Experience, On the Mic with Mike. You can check out my interviews with people in the music industry, the wrestling industry. Hell, I've even had people on in the adult entertainment industry. So, I mean, there's a lot of great content for a lot of people to listen to. And, of course, LingerieFC.com, Lingerie Fighting Championship, Beauty, Strength, and Dominance, the official LFC podcast. We're on SoundCloud. We are on Anchor. We are on Podbean. We are on Spotify. We are on TuneIn Radio. We are on Google Play, soon to be Apple Podcasts. We're working on some more platforms. We're on, like, 10 platforms right now. So if you just type in Michael Larkin or Beauty, Strength, and Dominance, you will find all 20 episodes thus far of the LFC podcast. And episode 20 is just out now with wrestler Gia DeLuca, a future LFC prospect, if you will. So, I mean, just keep staying tuned and keeping your eyes and ears peeled.
You know, just really quick to interject on something. I think that you missed slightly a great opportunity. I mean, you know, the name of the podcast, Beauty, Strength, and Dominance. Beauty, Strength, Dominance, and Michael. Maybe switch around Dominance and Strength. Beauty, Dominance, Strength, and Mike. I mean, right there, you know, BDSM. I mean, there you go.
I see what you did there. Okay, I like you. Well, here's the thing. You know what's funny about it, too, is when I used to interview people and I used to reach out to people, I would tell them that it's the S&M Show podcast, and they're like, wait a minute, what? You want to explain what this is? I'm like, well, my co-host's name is Steve, and it's a play on words, S&M. They're like, okay. I'm like, hey, I mean, it's kind of simple. If I said, if I write to you, I do a show with my best friend, Steve Nicoforo, and I say S&M, you could think Steve and Mike. But there's a lot of people that have mine in the gutters, like this one over here with his BDSM over here. But hey, no, I appreciate that, because that's actually how we got the name, because, you know, we're like S&M. Huh, it's like Beavis and Butthead. Oh, man, I think that's really cool. But yeah, and also I'll just say this right now, from Max Wrestling Podcast with my boys in the UK, Daz and the Butcher. So, and I want to say this to you guys. For anybody that listens to the LFC podcast and see that sweet-ass logo, you can thank Dazzy Dangerously in the UK, my boy Daz, at Dazzy MWP. Give him a shout-out and send him some love, because he does a lot of great artwork.
Awesome.
That's awesome. Michael, man, thanks for hanging out with us.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. I look forward to doing this again. You guys are awesome. Keep doing what you're doing.
We appreciate it. Michael Larkin, we'll be back in just a moment. Sin City Steve.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, good, King Lucky.
It's the whole fucking show.
And Matt Michaels.
Doing good, brother. Ready for some comedy tonight.
Oh, you must be talking about our guest. Definitely. He's a comedian, and he's best known for his lead role in the movie Headstrong, which also stars Rob Van Dam. Vegas Bad Boys, welcome Tom Garland. Woo. How you doing, Tom?
Yo, what's up? Hey, I'm doing all right. Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Awesome.
Well, you know, one of the coolest things, Tom, is you've formed a relationship with Rob Van Dam. Were you a kid growing up a wrestling fan, and how did you cross paths with Rob?
You know, actually, what's funny is I'm not a wrestling fan at all. Even to this day, I like it. Like, I used to have, I think it was like, I want to say I want to say the video game I had was like WCW versus like NWO.
Yeah.
Like that was a game.
That was an epic game.
I don't even know if Rob was on it.
No, he wasn't.
I went to one like house show once with like Cena that I won tickets to. So I didn't have much of a background with it. I actually met Rob doing stand-up comedy. This was at the point I was already touring and starting to slowly but surely make a living as a comedian. And I was doing a show in Las Vegas with a promoter, and Rob was the headliner that night, like the special guest guy, and I was the feature. And we kind of hit it off. We were fucking hanging out and stuff like that. And then finally I said to Rob, like, hey man, you know you should tour, you should go across the country and do stuff if you just do this in LA and Las Vegas. And you know, he was kind of like, well, I don't think you could afford me. And and I didn't realize again what his rate was to wrestle and really truly who he was and everything either at the time. And so as I got to know him better and stuff, it became more of a passion thing for him, where he ended up following up and saying, you know, I would do this just solely out of passion for to learn stand-up and to be around stand-up and whatever, because it doesn't have the money that obviously that wrestling has in it. But right. He's just kind of in this weird, like, constant semi-retired state where he does exactly, which is cool. I mean, that's exactly the point I'd love to hit someday. I think most people would with any business, but he just does what he wants. You know, if he wants to wrestle, he wrestles. If he feels like, you know, shooting a movie or writing some stand-up or working on his comic book or all the millions of projects he's got with Irons in the Fire, then he can do that. Or just, you know, chill at home or with his girl and whatever. So it was nice in that we clicked and that, you know, also I think it was nice too that I didn't have that wrestling, like, Mark background where right. I wasn't like, you know, when you first wrestled Sting, what was it like? Never had that moment with him, so I think that helped keep the relationship solely about stand-up, which is like my whole life passion, you know. So that's something I like and I can enjoy it. And then that way, you know, he can kind of get out of the wrestling world and into the dojo of comedy when he's hanging out with me and like the guys around the comedy club.
Right. Yeah. And you spent a lot of time traveling with him on the road for this documentary. Were you surprised at all about the fandom that surrounds Rob and you know, all the rabid fans that he has?
Well, so I've been around other celebrities before in the past from doing stand up, and I'd been around the Jackass guys. I spent lots of time around Tom Green. From MCV, I did Tom Green's residency here and stuff like that. And I don't say that's a name drop, but I just say it in that, like, I don't think it's weird to be out with somebody and have, you know, somebody holler at them, you know, woo, Tom Freddy got fingered or something like that. Or, you know, so, you know, you know, with Rob, it's all up and show. You know, they yell different stuff. RVD, they'll yell stuff like that, you know. Yeah. I don't think it's that weird. It is, though, like, on the management side, when I'm selling his act and pushing him and our tours and this movie and other stuff, because I do all of our behind-the-scenes stuff, you know, there's nothing better than that. We had a business meeting at one point where I think the guy that was doing the deal with us wasn't – he's not a big wrestling guy either, so I don't know if he was that confident and like, well, is this guy really as famous as you say he is? And I mean, you can't go anywhere without people freaking out about Rob.
Right.
Like yesterday we were just at Amazing Comic Con. This girl just starts bawling. I mean, it's like he's like, they act like he's one of the Beatles or something like that. I mean, to me, that's weird. That's something I wasn't around, I guess, with people like, you know, the stuff I mentioned before, but not like they do about rap. Like, people are fanatically crazy about
rap. Oh, yeah.
You know, so.
Definitely.
It's their life, you know. They know everything about it, and they've got it tattooed on them, and so they're just nuts. It's a different level of, yeah. So I guess I could be shocked at that. I will say this, too, about the fan base. Lots of dudes.
Yeah. Real, sausage real party.
On the dudes. Yeah, so. We're always joking with the girlfriends and whatever that, you know, you don't have to worry about me on these tours. You know, all I'm going to see is toothless men for like 6 months.
Well, and the funny thing too is when you named Tom Green, you threw out Freddie Got Fingered as something that someone would yell out, which is hysterical to me. Like, I remember I saw that movie in the theaters. And I think I was the guy who saw it in the theaters. What?
That's so cool. I had to get it, like, I must be just, like, a hair younger than you. I had to get it, like, in my middle school. Like, it was, like, passed around on a black videotape. Like,
what's a videotape? So
well, there's nothing wrong with, Daddy, do you want some sausage?
I know, it's not even a bad movie. It's just so funny how people got, that was that whole, like, parental advisory craze.
Yeah, exactly.
They really thought that was causing all the shit. Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah. You know, so with that, when you go out and you guys start doing this movie, you have no idea that the movie's going to end up being revolving around concussions. What was it like when you're on the road? Well, I guess the first question is, were there symptoms when you guys got to the airport to, you know, to take off? Did he let you know that he, you know, was a little, you know, having a concussion, you know, from the match the couple days before? Like, what was the circumstances going in? And did you guys, did it get worse? Or how did this evolve, and what kind of problems did it lead for you guys?
So, like, yeah, so some of this might not be as depicted in the film or whatever. And then the way the film is cut,
right,
it's kind of, shows it all bass backwards, right? But the way this really went down is that, you know, Rob and I are doing these tours. We're probably on our, like, third one at this point. I think we end up doing, like, five of them.
Okay.
So we actually did a couple more after Headstrong, even. But I think we do, yeah, like, somewhere between four and five of these tours. And so this is like the third or fourth one, somewhere in there. And anyway, so I'm, you know, I'm used to working with Rob a little bit, but I don't know him, you know, as well, even as I know him now. Now we hang out all the time. Like, we were just together last night. He's one of my best friends. We kick it all the time. That's but awesome. Even still, I'm just starting to get to know him too as well. And I've worked with other celebrities in the past. So when he shows up, tour, he was like, he shows up kind of, I think he had missed his flight, so we were late, and so he misses his flight, so he shows up late, and then he's like, oh, I've got this concussion, you know, and I was like, uh-huh, sure you do, you know, I'm like, you just are hungover, and you don't want to work, whatever, you know, and I didn't know, you know, and I feel terrible, but that probably my reaction, like, was, okay, haha, let's get to the show, when he first got in the car. And then, you know, as that went on, you know, I could literally physically see his eyes were messed up. you know, and he didn't want to take his sunglasses off. And then Rob likes to, you know, he likes to go out. He likes to have a good time and hang out and stuff like that. And so he was real like, nah, I need to get back to the room. I don't feel good, like all that sort of stuff. And so I did know something was up. The way we initially planned this, too, we weren't, like, intending on filming a movie. I mean, I guess maybe we had thrown it around because the guy was a film director that came with us, Joe Clark. But he's a friend of mine from college. So, and Joe's shot promotional videos and other stuff for me in the past. So I kind of had just learned from being around the other celebs in the past that there's, you know, there's money in filming the stuff. Like, why not shoot it? You know, like, we're all, he's a celebrity. He's traveling all over. Like, we should just film it for the hell of it and use it to promote him. We could shoot a little YouTube video or something of him doing stand up. So that's kind of what it was. So, like, when I really realized he's not feeling well, I was like, well, like, let's just scrap this tour, dude. Like, this money's not even worth it to you to be out here. You know, like, this isn't your wrestling fee that you normally get. I can, I'm a pro comic. I've been doing this for, you know, almost 10 years now. I can clear it up with these bar owners and we'll come back through and whatever. Like, this is no big deal, dude. Like, I don't want to be responsible for, like, too, like, I'm starting to get to know the fan base that is wrestling. Like, I don't want to be the guy that's like, yeah, Rob Van Dam can't see out of his left eye because his comedy manager wouldn't talk about it. You know, like, I don't want to have it be something. And I'm, so I really pushed him too, was like, let's get, you know, let's go to the hospital. And I remember, I don't even know if we had it on film, but I remember him, Joe and I had a conversation where we said, have you ever had your head checked out, ever? You know, have you ever had your brain checked out? He said, no. Wow. Well, like, not even once? No. Like, well, let's go, you gotta go to a doctor. I was like, whether you do it on this thing or not, or we scrap this whole thing, you know, or we show it or we don't, you have to go to a doctor at some point. So I'm glad he's done that. And, like, now he's super proactive about it. Yeah. We just did this amazing Comic-Con yesterday here in Las Vegas, and so all he talked about all day was concussions and stuff like that and concussion awareness. So I think it's something that he's finally, like, found some passion and gotten behind too. So that's cool for me to see that come out of the stand-up, and it's not all just you know, just dick jokes. It's cool to see some kind of inspiring come out of what I do for once. So that was nice.
Yeah, and as a comedian, there's not a lot of inspirational moments that come out of comedy.
No, and actually there's not a lot of people like Rob either. Like,
right.
Normally, from my experience, what stand-up is it's a lot of, you get a lot of the celebrity talent, not the ones I've worked with, but there's names out there I won't mention that they're just there to cash in. Like, they're just there because they're like, oh, I'm famous from being on Real World season 9, so now I'm gonna play this comedy club. I don't even know how to do stand up, but fuck you, and I got your $20 and whatever. And it, like I said, for Rob, it, like, it couldn't be anything in the, like, more in the opposite direction, where he's got such a passion behind it, and the dude is sick, like, physically ill, doesn't know what's wrong with himself, and still has such a, I think the commitment. Like, some people always talk about, they say, like, you'll hear wrestlers say, like, I love the business so much and whatever. And I don't know from being around him if Rob truly loves wrestling in that way, but I can say he's got that commitment to show business in every sense. Like, I've never done any sort of deal with him, like, anything I've been around where the dude just doesn't work till he drops. And it's like, that's just the mentality that they get from that, you know, they got from all those years of, beat up their bodies and stuff like that. And it's more of an athletic thing, I think, like a athlete brain than it is a comedy brain.
Right, yeah.
That's probably why there's not so much inspiration. A lot of comedy comes from negativity, you know.
Right. And I think in the movie, you had the analysis about how comedy kind of shows your, you know, your inner workings of your mind. And I think that was, you could see a light went off with Rob that I think, you know, it's a way of doing this, is a way of expressing himself that he hasn't had. And it's
I just talked to I'm not to name drop again, but I've been working on some stuff with Austin Aries.
Nice. Too.
Yeah. We're doing some stand up with him, and Austin too is saying, like, you know, it's that freedom of expression that you don't get. Like, the WWE or whoever they're working for is writing most of that stuff,
right?
You know, even if it's not, some of it's not scripted and whatever, like, there's still, you're not the one in stand up. You're director, producer, writer, you know, you're all of it.
Right.
And actor and, you know, and all those things. So, yeah, I think that's the freeing thing. And then, Rob is very into, I don't know the exact word, to use properly, but he's into like Zen type stuff.
Yeah.
He's like he's almost like a ninja of sorts. The yin and yang and the synchronicity and stuff like that, the universe and all that. So I think too, stand up kind of has this, you know, there's that Bill Hicks like kind of realm of stand up where it's all the search for self and the self awareness and to know thyself and all those things. So yeah, I think that's too, where that was another thing where we hit it off, that, you know, back to what we were talking about earlier, was like, you know, we connected more over stuff like that,
right,
than it has been over like, hey, how can you get me some SmackDown tickets?
Definitely, man. And obviously, you know, we're talking a lot about Headstrong and Rob, but like to shine a little bit of light on your career. And how did you get started with stand-up in the first place?
That's cool, man. I appreciate that. I got started in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, where I'm from. I was living in Iowa City at the time, which is like 30 minutes apart. And I was going to school there in college. And I wrote for like the student newspaper, and I had an internship with one of the news stations, and I thought I was going to be a reporter. And I really liked the media and even like radio and stuff, and doing what you guys are doing, all that sort of stuff is cool to me. And so I worked on stuff like that, but then I would go down to the comedy club at night, and I started doing that, and, you know, started dabbling at stand-up. There's just not really much stand-up in Iowa in general, so like, there'd be like one open mic a month.
Jesus.
So like in the beginning, like I did one and I like did good, and I was like, I'm a great comedian. And then I did another and I did bad, and I was like, I'm terrible. And it was just too long to hang on one show, and I got, comedy's very addicting. It's also the reason probably Rob and these guys are still doing it. It's a rush. It's like a weird adrenaline shot that is really rare and hard to find in other things. So like, I don't know what you get that from, like skydiving or other stuff like that, but it's a lot of like weird adrenaline that you can get from stand-up. So I probably got into that too, and I'm a bit of a thrill seeker, I guess. And so there's all those elements, but I started doing my own shows too. I started just setting up shows wherever I could, and you know, then I got, so I was performing almost every night of the week. And then I got a chance to host for Steve-O from Jackass.
Oh yeah.
And so I hosted some shows for Steve-O a couple times, and nothing really came of it, but then he came back through again, and it was like the second time that he came back on tour that he was like, oh, it's you again. And like, you know, you, when you're on tour, you just, you don't like know anybody in these towns, you know. So then he wanted to hang out because he was like, oh, he recognized me and stuff from the last time. So then we hung out and kind of got to know each other and exchanged email addresses. And I asked if he would help me out with some stuff. And he gave me an opportunity to open for him and Tom Green in Las Vegas. And so I flew out to Las Vegas and I did 12 shows with them out here on like what was supposed to be a short-lived residency stint. But that was cool. That gave me like a boost of confidence, but it also like got me out of Iowa and like you know, got me introduced to a bunch of different people. And from there, I met Bam Margera and a bunch of the other Jackass guys.
Oh, yeah.
Ended up being a manager for Preston Lacey, the fat dude from Jackass. I was Preston's manager for quite, it's weird now, you know, like I say that stuff and it sounds like if I tell my friends from high school that, like I'm from Iowa, you know, so it sounds like I'm like, dude, last night, you won't believe it, like I was with Daffy Duck and he was fucking around Bugs Bunny. It all sounds like bullshit, you know, but it was, what a weird, you know, and then you guys too, we're all probably maybe same age, right? You guys grew up in the 90s and watched, mm-hmm. you watched that stuff.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, definitely.
Well,
yeah, so like I used to make Jackass videos.
You know? You go.
I was like 14 years old. I have old videos of me like lighting stupid like cucumbers on fire.
No way.
I don't know what we were trying to do. Make homemade bombs, do all this stupid stuff.
What's the craziest thing you've done?
Oh, I mean, honestly, like Jackass wise, like one of the stupider things I've done is just like taking a taser on stage. Like, I don't know why we were doing that for a while, but it did kind of crescendo the show at the end, because at the end we would do like stunts, and so we would do these stunts on stage where it was just like kind of a little half-assed finale. So that's you know, because it's all that we're doing is like talking, which was no big deal, you know, most of the places we toured, but one night we were in Montreal and I was with a bunch of the Jackass guys, and in Montreal they speak hefty on the French,
right,
and less on the English, right? So we're trying to do is to like stories and sit down and talk, you know, and they're like, no, you two Jackass, beat each other up, like, kill each other. And it was like, that was like the very first night of this Canadian tour we took. It was just it's unbelievable. So but yeah, tequila stuntmans are pretty dumb too. I did a million of those with Preston. That's when you squeeze lemons in your eyes and snort the salt.
Oh.
Then it's kind of up to you if you take the shot or not. The shot's kind of meaningless at that point.
Right?
Yikes.
It does make you feel better about your life decisions if you just take a shot. Yeah, we would do the tequila stuntman to close the show, you know, and then we'd add like wasabi and hot sauce and all this other stuff. So it was even worse, you know.
Jesus.
And then of course, like there was little things we had worked in on purpose where I'd rub the salt in my eyes on purpose and other stupid stuff like that. But like it really hurt, you know. But
oh yeah,
we're Press and I were doing 40 shows in a row.
Man.
On the tour. So I'm like, you know, by night 25, it's starting to mess with my head. And then I would come off stage, and then people would be like, you didn't really do that up there. I'm like, it's like a 200-seat venue, 300-seater. Like, you're right there. You saw me do it. You know, like, they still wouldn't believe me, so they'd be like, I'll buy another one. So I'd end up doing, like, three after the
set. Oh, shit.
Two or three more afterwards.
Brutal.
Yeah, so I haven't – luckily, I haven't been – haven't had that experience with wrestling. Rob doesn't just randomly chair pop me.
But you know what? That's a very interesting thing you say. And that's something that wrestlers go through, is that stigma of it's not real. And that's the same thing, you know, when you do any physicality in entertainment, you're going to get people who just are going to egg you on and say it's not real, which is totally fucked up, because you know, now you've got to put salt in your eyes 15 times just to prove one Jackass that... Yeah, I think the theory is the Jackasses aren't really those guys who do the performing. The Jackasses are the people in the audience who...
You're laughing at it?
Yeah, exactly.
That's very Black Mirror of you.
Yeah, well...
and you were the Jackass all along.
Yeah. What's interesting is you brought up Steve-O. I worked with Steve-O on Killer Karaoke.
Yeah, oh, it was that Killer Karaoke, man. It was a karaoke show. They thought I could sing.
Yeah, he's a good dude, man. He's like the sweetest person. Did you have a good experience working with him?
Oh, unbelievable. The you know what is very interesting is this was Steve-O's like first experience doing like a hosting gig, and so he was, you know, like a fish out of water, because he didn't have to, you know, the stunts were essentially having people sing karaoke around, you know, walking through pits of glass or whatever.
I believe he did that after we did the Vegas thing.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
I think it was right after that. He did this.
I remember he had the doctor show too and some other stuff.
Yeah. So he did this.
He worked really hard, dude. For all of the stigma maybe around that character.
Yeah.
That, you know, of this, the real guy, Stephen Glover, is the nicest, sweetest person and works his ass off. So, like, you know, more power to him. But yeah, Steve-O, like, what a wild dude. Yeah.
But that's an interesting point that you just made, too. And I think this is the same, you know, with wrestling, is that Steve-O is a character. You know, it's a character he created. And it's really hard for people to separate the character of Steve-O and just Steve himself, which leads to when you're, you know, doing a lot of drugs and drinking a lot and stuff, and people start challenging you to stuff, now you've got to defend your character, and now you end up doing stupid things in public.
That can become, like, brand associated, too. Yeah, I agree. Not to just be completely TMZ here and just talking about the celebs, but, yeah, like, with, you know, back to with Rob, like, that's the thing I think is so cool about Rob's character, which makes you know, Headstrong and his whole thing so endearing, is that it's really, I mean, it's a character, but it's more of a cartoon version of him. It's
right.
So, like, Jim Ross had a thing recently on his podcast too, where he was saying, like, Rob's character is so well blended to who he really is.
Yeah.
Like, it's so genuine that it's, dude, I know him in, you know, and hanging out as friends, and it's really like the experience I'll have one-on-one with him isn't really different at all than what I hear him say in public. Like, he's just an honest dude who has, right, you know, core values, you know, that are, you know, obviously he's an extreme high-flying athlete, but at the end of the day, you know, he's just a stand-up dude who sticks to his word and shit. It's about his values and shit, you know, and that's how, you don't see that as often, you know. A lot of times you'll see the guy that, one way or the other, and we're starting to see this now with all the Me Too shit, is that these people act one way on TV, and then you find out they're some way else when they go home, you know, which is whatever to some, you know. Some people, they don't care. They're like, I'm not going to stop listening to Michael Jackson. I don't care what he did. Dude, it's like, you know, that's fine, but, you know, for someone like Rob, it's, you know, he's the same person on screen as he is off, and with integrity, and that. And Steve's the, you know, I don't think Steve likes to be kicked in the nuts off stage.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
As genuinely of a sweet guy as he is on
Can you imagine going on stage and doing a set of, let's say, 10 minutes with a concussion?
You know, actually what's funny is that I don't think that, like, I would do very well. Because that was something surprising, too, is that, like, I'm still does well. Like, he's all, like, head rattled, and he's still putting together, like, sentences and a set that makes sense. I mean, the guy, he had a full blown severe concussion or whatever, and he's doing an hour and 15 minutes of straining his brain.
Yeah.
You know, literally using his brain as much as he can to speak in front of people. Whereas, like, yeah, I mean, like, I've gone up. I had my wisdom teeth out and went up after that. Oof. That night.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I gave myself dry sockets from the year, I don't know. But, I thought it was funny. I was all in, like, I had my mouth all bandaged up, and I went on and whatever. They told me not to do anything, and I just went straight there and went to the show.
Wow.
I thought it was hysterical. it was funny when I was up, and then when I got off, it was real stupid. But no, I don't really, like, again, I've never just, like, taken a pop and then gone on stage. Like, I think it might make for a good show if somebody backstage. Like, I'll get Tom and just smack me. That'd be a weird routine, isn't it? Someone has to kick my ass before I go up there.
Right? There you go.
I don't need any green M&Ms. I need someone to scratch me. I rake me. I got to go on.
Right? All right, man. So we have a segment that we like to do on the show where it's a word association, and we're going to do it for 70 seconds. What I'm going to do is I'm going to say a name or an entity of some kind, group, and just tell me the first thing that pops into your head, okay?
It's probably all going to be like porn and stuff like that. I don't know what you're
trying to catch again. Actually, none. you could prove me totally wrong, but yeah.
Let's do it. I think this is fun. I'm just messing around.
All right, cool. Awesome, man. So let's go ahead and start the clock. First up, man cow.
So I just say the one word?
Yeah, just say whatever comes into your head.
Michigan Avenue. I went through this thing on Michigan Avenue. It was fun.
Tom Green.
Tom Green's fun. I don't know. I just say one word. I'm just like tall. I don't fucking know.
Rob Van Dam.
Rob is probably stoned.
Bill Burr.
I feel like I'm supposed to be thinking of what they're doing at this exact
moment. No, man.
This is what I changed the game into. Bill Burr seems angry. I don't know what he's doing.
Broken
you're
lizard.
Rich. Calm down. What's he fucking mad about?
Right? Broken lizard.
Broken lizard is hopefully doing new shit. I hope they're making another movie.
Yeah. Definitely.
I don't know just yet.
And
I hope they're doing Super Troopers 3.
And lastly, the whitest kids you know.
Whitest kids you know. I love Timmy. Fuck, dude. Timmy is just the best dude, too. Timmy is just he's got all this cool stuff behind him. And if you read his Twitter, it's just every day it's all about his daughter. And it's like just the sweetest guy, man.
That's awesome.
He's someone else. Yeah. Timmy actually makes me think of the Midwest just in general because, I think that's why another reason why Rob and I connect so well and why I've connected with, people like Timmy and you mentioned Broken Lizard. You know, I'm close with Eric Stolhansky from Broken Lizard, too, and stuff. And even with Preston Lacey, the common thing here is that all these people are Midwest. Preston Lacey's from he's from Missouri. Eric lives in Minneapolis. Timmy lives in North Dakota. Rob's from Battle Creek, Michigan. You know, I'm from Cedar Rapids, Iowa. All of us, I think, you know, I get along with all of them because, you know, it's all just that kind of hometown. I don't know where you guys are from, but
I'm actually originally from the Midwest as well. So
same
where
here.
You from?
Ohio.
So, you know, dude, it's all kind of the same and whatever. It's all like that, I don't know if people are, I want to say it's nicer, but it's not, people aren't nicer, but I just feel like they're less shifty.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Just a little bit more, or they'll just give you traffic directions. That's where it all happens. You'll be like, where should I go? And then they'll be like, you can go down two streets, take a left. Then they'll fucking abduct your kid.
So Tom, I definitely want to get in really quick here. Downtown and Dirty, give us a little bit about what it is and tell people when you guys do it, and tell us a little bit about the Nerd Bar.
Yeah, let's do that, man. Again, dude, thanks for doing your research. I'm such a nobody, and you guys know, everything about me. And didn't mention my arrest record either, so this is just the nicest thing. I'm so flattered. But yeah, man, normally, I come on shows, and they're like, so who are you? We don't care.
Shit.
It's just no, you guys are being cool. Downtown and Dirty is the new show I started doing with Joe Calise. So it's my boy Joe's show. But my story there is Rob wanted to hang out at this bar called the Nerd Bar because Booker T was going to be down there. Again, it sounds like being like, I went to the Batcave with Robin. Booker T is going to be at this place called the Nerd Bar, and I had gone there once with my girlfriend before, and so I knew the place. And so I was like, we could go there, but I like the Strip. I like being out at, like, you know, the stuff I didn't have back home in Ohio, right?
Right. All
the,
yeah.
Yep. You know, in Iowa and stuff. I'm like, I want to drink in a pyramid. Why are we going to this bar? Like, so we're going to the Nerd, and then Booker and Rob I've met Booker T a couple times through different stuff, and we hung out with him in Houston one night and some other stuff. And so they introduced me to Johnny that owns the bar, and Johnny was just the coolest dude and super nice to me and to Rob and whatever, and so we got hanging out down there every now and then, and just kind of networking with him and stuff. And Johnny mentioned he had this room that he wanted to convert into a comedy club, and he has this huge space in the back of his bar that was like a storage unit / party room thing that they hadn't really taken care of that much. And so I went in and kind of started shows in there and started working for Johnny a little bit and trying to fix the place up, and got some producers interested in it, and then they took it, and now they're producing a show. They, like, you know, they rent out from Johnny, and they produce a show in there. So I'm one of the hosts on the show, but my friend Joe is in charge of all the booking and lineups and stuff like that. So he picks out who's going to be there every night. But Rob just dropped down last night. Austin was there too, and so if you would have come last night, you'd have saw 10 minutes of Rob and probably 20 minutes of me before that or something like that. Jocelyn Sharp, the local headliner, she was down there. It's a fun show. So it's just it's a dirty midnight show. Neonopolis. Yeah, so last night we had burlesque, there was comedy, there was a magician, there's a roast. There's a guy that plays guitar that has funny songs. So,
nice, something for everybody.
We've done good stuff. We've had porn stars be on it. It's been weird, but it's midnight on Fremont Street, so
hell yeah, what
it deserves. It's weird. Yeah, so, but yeah, that's been really fun. You want to get tickets to that? It's just ticketkite.com. But if you go on my website, just Tom Garland Comedy. .com. It's got all my different shows. I play there. I play all the cool comedy clubs on the Strip and off the Strip, the downtown, the other clubs, and I play at MGM, all the cool shit. So you get on my website, you can find where I'm at. But Downtown and Dirty is probably my newest thing that I started doing, and it's becoming one of my favorites. I like rough audiences because I started in Ohio, Iowa too. It's all, like, there's not really a whole lot of set comedy clubs. You know, right. There might be one. So the majority of where I was performing was always rough, redneck bars, you know, strip clubs, really unconventional places. So I like those high energy, late night, dirty audiences. Like, that's what I kind of thrive on. So.
That's awesome.
That's brilliant. Really quick, too. Hooters Casino. We know Hilarious 7. You can be seen there. Brad Garrett's Comedy Club, if anyone's coming to Vegas, July 15th through the 21st, you're doing a set there at the MGM Grand at Brad Garrett's Comedy Club at 8 p.m. I definitely highly recommend that spot, since Brad is a dear friend of mine. So please, guys, support Tom, because without your support, there are going to be too many more podcasts and radio shows going, who the fuck is this guy?
No, dude. Thank you, man. You're sweet. You know Brad, too. Brad has just been the nicest person to me, too. Just,
yeah.
I don't know why. He's just nice to comedians, I guess. He's also just the nicest person. I got the connection there. I used to play for Zanies in Chicago. I spent a lot of time in Chicago. When I would be off tour, I would just go sleep on my friend's couch in there and try to get better at stand-up, literally, for weeks at a time, and go broke, and then go back on tour. And so I would play for Zanies, and their old manager now manages for Brad. But Brad has just the nicest club. Like, you've been in there then.
Yeah.
It's just everything's just over the top nice, especially like the green room. There's a full stock bar in there with candy, and he sends you a text every week that's like, "Have a good show." And you're just like, "What the fuck?" Over. Just literally pays me way too much to do stand up. I shouldn't say that, but it's just like, I'm also like, this is ridiculous, dude. Like, I don't know, nicest dude too. So I've actually I haven't gotten the pleasure to meet him yet. So, like, they have me fill in for him
right. When
he's gone.
Right.
So, like, every time I just get the text and talk to him on there and stuff like that. But, I hope I get to tell him thanks in person soon, because just been super cool to me. And the club is just, like, literally the most beautiful comedy club.
It really is.
So,
yeah,
it's really cool.
Awesome. Well, Tom, hey, man.
Well, hey, man, you guys got to come down to the Nerd. I owe you guys all a beer for having me on. I really appreciate it.
That's awesome.
Definitely, man.
Awesome. That's like our second and third and fourth home, isn't it? We love the Nerd Bar. Hey, Tom, thanks for your time, man. We appreciate it. We got all your dates and everything, and we're going to be looking forward to talking with you again.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Really. Thank you.
Bad Boys of Podcasting.